गोपीजनादलाबा गिरिधरधारी गोपीजनादलाबा गिरिधरधारी शाश्वतानन्दना ब्रजजनरञ्जना शाश्वतानन्दना ब्रजजनरञ्जना चमुनाधीरवनचारी जमुना तीरवनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरि हरे हरे रामा राम राम हरि हरे हरे कृष्णा 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 हरि हरे हरे राम 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 हरि हरे हरे कृष्णा 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 हरि हरे हरे राम 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 हरि हरे जय गौरानिताय जय गौरानिताय जय गौरानिताय जय जय प्रभुपाद
श्री राधा माधव जू की श्री प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णु पर परमहंस परिव्रजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय इस्कॉन प्रतिष्ठा आचार्य जगत गुरु श्री प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय नामाचार्य हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गरधा शिवा शरि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय नवदीप सीमा पुदाम की जय गंगमाई की जय, जमुनमाई की जय, भक्ति देवी की जय, तुलसी महारानी की जय, श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। हो ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, हो ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, हो ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, हो ग्लोरी टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंगा नितय गो प्रेमनंदी हरि बोल। So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 19, the Lord Begs Charity from Bali Maharaj. Text number 13. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vairanubhanda etavan Amrita giha dehinam Agyana prabhapo manyur Ahammano praprimhitahan Vairanubandaretavan Amrityo hiha dehinam Agyana prabhapo manyor Aham mano pabrimhitaha Vairanubandaretavan Amrityo riva dehinam Agyana prabhapo manyor Aham mano pabrimhitaha Ramanupaitaitavan Amrita yadehinam Agyana prabhapo manyor Aham mano bimhitaha Vairanubandaretavan Amrita yadenam Agya prabhapo manyom Aham mano pambritta Ammano papribhita Vairanubandaretapan Amritya hiyatehinam Abhyana prabhapo manyo Ahammano primhitahan Vairanubandha. Enmity. Etavan. So great. Amrityo. Up to the point of death. Iha. In this. Dehinam. Of persons too involved in the bodily concept of life. Agya Prabhava. Because of the great influence of ignorance. Manyo, anger. Ahammana, by egotism. Upabrimhitaha, expanded. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, Abhaya Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Hiranyakashipu's anger against Lord Vishnu persisted until his death. Other people in the worldly, bodily conception of life maintain anger only because of false ego and the great influence of ignorance. Please repeat. Hiranyakashipu's anger against Lord Vishnu persisted until his death. Other people in the bodily concept of life maintain anger only because of false ego and the great influence of ignorance. Purport. Generally speaking, even though the conditioned soul is angry, his anger is not perpetual but temporary. It is due to the influence of ignorance. Hiranyakashipu, however, maintained his enmity and his anger against Lord Vishnu up until the point of death. He never forgot his vengeful attitude towards Vishnu for having killed his brother, Hiranyaka. Others in the bodily concept of life are angry at their enemies, but not at Lord Vishnu. Hiranyakashipu, however, was everlastingly angry. He was angry not only because of false prestige, but also because of continuous enmity towards Vishnu. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Chanan Chanan Shalakayo Chakshuran Militan Jina Tasmaya Sri Gurvinma Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garata Sri Bhashati Gol Bhaktapinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So here is pointing out Hiranyakashipu's anger, he's letting out his anger, trying to kill Lord Vishnu. And people get angry. It's known. Anger is coming from unfulfilled desires, material desires. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha. There's a progression. First kam is there. Last, desires for sense gratification. And when you cannot fulfill that desire, angry, krodha, kam, krodha. If you find yourself angry, you can analyze where is this anger coming from. Somewhere you have an unfulfilled desire that you cannot, that is the cause of the anger. Then lobha, kam, krodha, lobha. I must have it. I'm greedy, greedy. I must have it. Kam, krodha, lobha, moha. Then an illusion is there. This illusion, this, it says here is because of the false ego and the great influence of ignorance. So due to ignorance or avidya, avidya cannot also be used in this sense, because avidya means forgetfulness of Krishna, but he didn't forget Krishna. But anyway, ignorance was there, because it's often translated as forgetfulness of Krishna ignorance. But we see in this story that Hiranyakashipu, he didn't forget Krishna. Anyway, it's due to the ignorance and the bodily conception of life, the false ego. And because of this avidya and this lack of knowledge or ignorance and false ego, then he sticks to a material intelligence. The material intelligence sticks to material identification. Some identification, how we identify ourselves. If it's not as the eternal servant of Krishna, generally our intelligence is identifying as something, which is also constantly changing. Until we come to the point of Nitya Krishna Das, Jivasrupa Nitya Krishna Das. That is our identity, not changing. But in materialistic life, we see our friend. My identity is, my false ego is, he is my friend, I'm his friend. So you see your child and you think, he is my child, I'm his father. So again you change your identity. First you were a friend, now you identify yourself as a father, then you see your husband or wife, then you identify yourself as a... So due to our different relationships, throughout the whole day we're meeting different people and I identify with those persons. So the identity is changing. Devotees also, they relate to other different identities, but they have a main underlying identity. I'm Jiva Swarupa Nitya Krishna. Thus, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. And he is my friend, he is Krishna's friend also. This is I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, but here is my wife and I'm the husband, but we're servants in Krishna's house working together. So we relate everything to Krishna. We're changing identities, but we're relating everything to the servant of Krishna. But the Kaumis, they're not having this understanding, so they're just directly identifying themselves with their some material identity. Their intelligence is still holding on to these different identities. So therefore difficult to give up, but here it's pointing out that the ordinary people, they get angry with their enemies, but generally that anger goes after some time. You're not angry all the time. And he's saying here that he's got angry, but that anger is a different feature. Someone, you meet someone, sometimes they're angry. It's not the same person. In fact, sometimes you can't even go near that person. If they're too angry, if they're boiling with anger, you can't even get near them. You're a friend and like that. But then it goes after some time. And the anger subsides. So that anger, it comes, it shows its face, and then it goes away after some time. But what does increase is the identification increases. Here the identification is, I am a great hero, because we're dealing with Kshatriyas wanting to fight. So they have this very strong Purusha Bhav, Kshatriyas, because they're strong, they got chariots, they got armor, they know how to fight, and they got plenty of enemies and plenty of places to conquer. So they're very proud. That increases the identification of I am a hero. That increases, although the anger comes and goes, but the identity increases that I am a hero. This is what's pointing out. He's a hero, so that goes, that becomes very strong. Dhruva Maharaj, a 5 years old boy. Narad Muni said, what are you doing in the forest meditating? You're only a little boy, a little kid. Better you go back and, you know, live in your palace. You're not meant to be doing it in the forest alone. A little. But Dhruva was, no way I'm going to go back. I'm going to get a kingdom even greater than my grandfather's. And Narad Muni said, wow, you just see the pride of these Kshatriyas, even a little boy like that, this pride is so strong in Kshatriyas, because it's one of the qualities of a Kshatriya, pride. Bhagavad Gita says, pride, heroism, so you've got to be up there. Narad Muni was, oh, how strong this affection, even for a small boy, it is the mood of the Kshatriyas, their pride of a Kshatriya, that I'm going to get a kingdom greater than my father's. they're maintaining these identities. But here is Hiranyakashipu. He also, his pride also increased. His pride and anger. He was angry with Vishnu. The anger wasn't there all the time, but his... I'm sorry. Hiranyakashipu. He had that strong false ego. I'm a hero, I'm conquering all the world. Where is Vishnu? I'm searching everywhere to kill him. He's fled. Nobody will come near me. I'm challenging people to have battle. Yesterday we heard, he went to Varuna Dev, said, give me a fight. Varuna said, fighting business for me is finished. I'm an old man. But you'll meet someone who can fight you. So like that, he was a hero. He was a great hero. And nobody could face him. Everybody running away. And he's, who will challenge me fearlessly? He was alone as well. He didn't have any armies with him, just by his own powers. A very powerful person, so he had a very, very strong false ego of heroism, being the great hero. But his anger against Vishnu did not stop. Generally, the anger stops after some time for ordinary people. Here, but for Hiranyakashipu, his anger didn't stop. His identity was also increasing as a hero. Practically he was. He was a hero. Nobody could defeat him in the universe. So that was increasing. And his anger towards Lord Vishnu, it never went. So that was with him right and up until he died. He still maintained his enmity towards Vishnu. So what's the difference? One could remember his enmity and others, they forgot their enmity and anger after some time. So the difference is that he remembered Krishna right up to the time of death. And what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? You remember me at the time of leaving your body, the time of death. You'll come to me, you come to my supreme abode, my eternal abode. Paramdham, Nityadham. You don't have to come back again and take birth in the material world. So this is the greatness of Krishna. Although Hiranyakashipu was treating him as an enemy, he was so lucky he remembered him at the time of leaving his body. And Krishna says, yes, you'll come back home to me. Of course, the different types of liberation, but the demons that Krishna killed also got liberation. Others also, Shishupala, he maintained enmity with Krishna, and Krishna had to kill him. And then they saw the soul of Shishupala like a meteor, it come out and went into Krishna, entered into Krishna. So this is These pastimes are glorified by Sukadeva Goswami at the end of the 10th canto. Some super excellent qualities of Krishna, that even the demons he killed got liberation. Even Putana, she gets a position of a mother, a nurse in Goloka to look after Krishna, serve Krishna. And Kamsa was another demon who Krishna killed, but he was remembering Krishna all the time, especially the last part of his life when he... Narada Muni explained to him who Krishna was, and he's going to come here and kill you. So Kamsa, he was very fearful. Very fearful. Eighth child of Krishna will kill me. This was his consciousness. So everywhere he looked, he said, he is 8 steps going up to the courtroom, or their court, Darva, the parliament. He's going to sit in the parliament every day. The king has his duties. 8 steps to walk up there. 8 son of Krishna, Devaki is going to kill me. He sees his ministers, 8 ministers coming. 8 ministers. The 8th son of Krishna is going to kill me like this. He was very Krishna conscious. Narada Muni glorifies him later on at the end of the Bhagavatam. How Krishna conscious was Kamsa? So Krishna conscious. I can't be like that. I can't have that total absorption in Krishna. But Kamsa, he could. Of course, Narada was saying that. He's the greatest devotee. But to show how they were absorbed. So Sukadeva Goswami says, people can approach Krishna in different ways. You never hear about anger from any other scripture practically except the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Krishna is known as Rasaraj, he enjoys different relationships. Shivari is one of them. So so this is the glory of the Vedic literature, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, because it's dealing with all these different types of relationships you have. And other people, other religions, they have they have no conception practically whatsoever. Really. Father and son, it was like that. That's quite common. God is the Father and we are the Son. That is a Christian conception. Father and Son. But generally they take that to mean that I'm the Son, so you have to fulfill my desires. But Bhagavatam, it reverses. You can reverse the situation of parental relationship. I become the father of Krishna. Or I can become the mother. And I can serve Krishna. Nowhere else in the world is that, except Bhagavatam, you can find this. This conception. Even the gopis. What was their qualification? They were lusty. They were lusty to go to Krishna. Not material lust, but they had the example is given there. Out of lust, the gopis went to see Krishna, to satisfy Krishna's lust. So Krishna also has lust. But lust, anger, these are all bad qualities. Everybody's keeping away from the bad qualities. What to say that God actually has these bad qualities is unheard of. Prabhupada says in the Krishna book, I think Yudhisthira, he just finished some sacrifice, and then Yudhisthira with all of his queens, he went in. Queens? Was it Krishna's queens? Maybe they all went in. Yeah, they all went in. Krishna's and Arjuna. And they were playing at water sports and things like that. And Prabhupada said it appears that pastimes like these are acceptable amongst qualified people. So there's highly advanced and conscious people. They could do this. They could play in the water of Jalkali with their queens and things like that. Water pastimes. And there's a description of the queens playing with Krishna in the water and how they're splashing each other and how the cloth gets wet and it sticks to their bodies and they get the revealing different parts of the body. It's going on, the description is going on. And then Prabhupada says, the person, in person is Maya. They would never, never dare to believe that such a thing could be happening in the material world. Because for them everything is Maya, everything material, especially sense gratification, direct sense gratification. This is absolute Maya. He said they'll never have that conception, be able to conceive of how Krishna, this type of activity can go on in the spiritual world. So therefore let's negate everything, Buddhism, Mayavad, let's negate everything because it can't happen. And everything will become null and void. So what's the use of being God if everything is null and void? If you have no one to play with, no pastimes, what's the use of being God? Prabhupada said to Buddhists, the Buddhist philosophy is atheist, they openly say there is no God. He said at least they're honest. The Mayavadis say there is a God, but you cannot see him, you cannot touch him, you cannot hear him, you cannot... At least the Buddhists are honest by saying there's no God. The Mayavadis, they try to take away God's identity. No. Mahaprabhu even, he was angry. He exhibited anger. The peaceful sannyasi, there's a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam describing the event of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a peaceful sannyasi. He would go to the forest. Peaceful sannyasi. But Mahaprabhu got very angry sometimes also. Chankazi tried to stop the Sankirtan. He's like fire. Literally. Make a flaming torches. We go march on the Kazi's house. Apart from that, you didn't hear anything about Muslim rule or anything like that. Mahaprabhu didn't mention. The moment he interfered with the Sankirtan movement, fire, get your torches, we're going to kill the Kazi. Anger was there. Prakashananda, Saraswati, Mayavadi in Benares, Mahaprabhu said that he's preaching that I have no hands, I have no legs, I have no eyes. He's tearing me apart. He's pulling my eyes out, pulling my nose, pulling my tongue out. He's just tearing me to pieces. I've given him white leprosy also, but still he hasn't woken up. he's still the same. And he's saying, I don't have any eyes, I don't have any this, I don't have that. So what use is such a God? There is a God, but he has no head, he has no eyes, he has no legs. So Mahaprabhu was very angry. cheating the people. Devananda Pandit, Mahaprabhu was angry. You think you know Bhagavatam Pandit? Shouting out. Devananda's ashram was... Mahaprabhu was on the roadside. He was shouting out. What do you know about Bhagavatam Pandit? It's just because you can... sit down and chant Bhagavatam and get some followers. You don't know anything about Bhagavatam. You're never going to understand one little word. You offended Srivas Thakur, a devotee, Krishna's devotee. You'll never be able to understand. So, parampara is there. We met one when we were in, I think Badrinath, there's one ashram there. What's the name of that ashram? Something Arta. Anyway, it's one of the big ashrams there, Mayavad. And the head of that, he said, I was an ISKCON devotee previously. He said, I joined in Vrindavan and I was making life members and doing different services. And somehow or another we got influenced by the Mayavadi camp. He's very hospitable. Let us stay there the night in the ashram, gave us looked after him. But then he said, one thing, you ISKCON people, you please don't criticize. Because you're known as being critical. You criticize all the other groups. You don't be critical. But we're coming from a critical sampradaya. Why we shouldn't criticize? If something is wrong, Prabhupada said, I'm the only one who openly criticizes. Not only religionists, but anyone who falls short of complete surrender to Krishna. This means the whole world. Who has surrendered to Krishna? So Prabhupada's criticizing everyone, quite rightly so. We're laying in the lap of the witch of Maya, and everybody's talking about something else. Lose your identity. So Prabhupada, lose your identity, what does that mean? Lose your love for Krishna. Completely the opposite. Prem pumata pumam, the purpose of religious life is to come to the point of loving Krishna, loving God. And they're completely the opposite. They want to cut out that relationship. There is no love. There is no interaction. It's, God is one. And there is not there. This is what they are doing in the name of religion. They're killing the greatest religious principle. Prem pumata pumam. The highest goal of life. Even the Christians. What is your first and greatest commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. Mayavadi says no, you should. They're trying to destroy that love. There is no love. Love means two. I love you, you love me. How can it be so? We're into the oneness. And they're popular religionists. It's a popular religion. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was in Calcutta, he was walking and his disciple said, Guru Maharaj, look, this guru come in the opposite direction. Big Mayavadi guru is preaching a lot here in Calcutta. Mayavadi philosophy. Bhaktisiddhanta became angry. He crossed over the road to face him, walked straight up to him and slapped him around the face. He said, what are you doing? Why you are teaching? Why are you teaching a philosophy that denies the living entity's eternal love for Krishna? There are nothing to say. But anger, therefore the devotee is using a good purpose, the constructive, it's not for killing. Killing Vishnu like Hiranyaka is for establishing Vishnu. So this was at least the benefit. He was remembering Vishnu. He was targeted towards Vishnu, so he had that great benediction and blessing. At the time of leaving his body, he was still remembering. His enmity never gave up, but that was a good thing, because it was to Krishna. So wherever Krishna is, everything will turn out fine in the end. Prabhupada said, if you have to be angry with someone, be angry with Krishna. He is Shadva Karana Karanam, he's the cause of all causes. Everything's anger is coming from him also. So if to be angry with someone, be angry with Krishna. We're in this situation, as Krishna's created everything. We didn't create. So anger, sometimes you do things out of anger and you're a different person. But then that anger ceases, you come okay again. So that's not bad. If sometimes you kill someone also, you're so angry, you just kill. So that's understood. When they go to the court, he said, You know, he just lost his composure, and he was angry and he killed him. Some leniency will be there because of anger. There was in Bombay a few years ago, and the husband come home and he said to his wife, make me a cup of tea. She said, you make it yourself. I'm whole day been working in the house, you make it. He said, yeah, my wife, you're supposed to be doing these things. Whole day I'm working in the home, and you come home and you want a cup of tea, just make it yourself. And he just went into a fit of anger. And he said, if you don't make the cup of tea, I'm going to throw the baby out the window. She said, it's half your baby, you can do it. And he was so absorbed, he threw the baby out the window. Then the wife, she said, oh my God, she saw the baby, she jumped out the window. Then the husband, he looked down and saw them, he jumped out the window. No one was killed, but they were beaten up a little bit. Just because of anger. Why did that anger? Because he wanted a cup of tea. Intoxication, you see the danger. No intoxication. He killed his family. A little cup of tea, got intoxication. So it's there. It's there in Krishna. Otherwise, where would it come from, this anger? When Krishna saw Mother Jasoda's stick, he was fearful. And Mother was angry. Thunderstorm comes at night. But say we're discussing the Catholic inhabitants of Vrindavan now. Krishna, maybe he's a big demigod. Maybe the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Something like that we're discussing. Nanda Baba said, you don't know Krishna. You're calling him, maybe he's a big yogi in his last life, or maybe a portion of Vishnu or something. Nighttime you're sleeping and a thunderstorm comes, the clap of thunder and lightning. He runs in my room, he jumps in my bed, under the covers, shaking in fear. You call him, what kind of yogi is that? You give him some laddu and there's not enough sugar, and he cries and gets angry and throws a fit. Why, there's no sugar in my laddus? How he can be a yogi? How he can, he has no control in his senses. How he can be an incarnation? So with God, all the inconceivable things can be reconciled in Krishna. What is apparently bad for us, or bad qualities, they all turn out good if we put Krishna there. And Prabhupada said, if you don't know what to say, remember Krishna. And then he will give you dictation. He will always help you. So it's there. Anger is there. Even Prabhupada got angry. A big pandal program in Delhi. And then there's one hippie there. And he stood up. He said, is anybody here understanding the self, by the self? He's rejoicing in the self. Prabhupada said, yes. So then Prabhupada said, bring him up here. I don't know why Prabhupada did, but may have been a very serious, he was asking serious questions. So anyway, Prabhupada had him brought up on the stage and gave him the mic. But then this hippie said, what about such and such a yogi? He says, this is Kali Yuga coming, it hasn't begun yet, it begins after such and such time. And he started arguing with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, he asked the Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, no, he said, what is your authority? You're not basing anything on any authority. What is your authority? So you answer my question. He said, no. He said, you answer my question. I asked first. And they was having an argument like that, and Prabhupada had a false tooth, golden. It started to slip down. He was so angry, and they were shouting at each other out on the stage. Everybody there was, you know, there's thousands of people. It's one of those big pandal programs. And Amalati was there, and she was sitting with the life member ladies. And then these life member ladies said that, Swamiji is becoming angry. Swamiji should never become angry. They never become angry. He shouldn't become angry. Malati turned around, she slapped him around the face. Prabhupada can become angry if he wants to become angry. Anyway, it was an uproar, you know, and people started leaving and walking out. And then after that, it got back to normal again. But according to Giriraj Maharaj, who was there, he said, after analyzing the whole situation, we saw it was, you know, because Prabhupada started speaking on Bhagavad Gita about anger, and Arjuna was angry and things like that. So Giriraj Maharaj said, it was what Prabhupada was quoting on, and it was an actual exhibition. Some people could understand why he was angry, some people couldn't understand why he shouldn't be angry, he couldn't be angry for the devotees. Proving that the point that Arjuna has to get angry if he has to kill his family relatives, so anger can be used in Krishna's. And those who don't accept, they can't understand. So he said that all those people who are doubtful and atheists, they all left. But the real devotees stayed. Everyone, all the others who stayed, they were accepting how all these bad qualities can be made into good qualities if they were used in Krishna's service. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveda Bhakta Brinda ki jai. Nitai Go Premanandi. Thank you. Any comment or question?
Maybe.